I want you to imagine with me just a minute, maybe sometime in your life, you were at the beach and you were blessed with this scenic view, maybe of a sunset or a sunrise, and you found it to be magnificent and beautiful. Well, guess what? This is available for us each day. Why is it that we find this magnificent and beautiful? Well, I think being in a new location, a different location, contributes to that. This morning I was sitting on my patio and I tried to see this beautiful sunrise that I knew was there, but the trees would not allow me to enjoy the sunrise. And so there may be, you know, some issue that prevents us from this on a daily basis, but the opportunity is there. A man falls in love with a lady, and with time he starts to notice her flaws instead of her beauty. We wake up each day to breathe new air and to have 24 hours in front of us to live out on this beautiful planet. And then as the day goes on, as time goes on, it's just like the day before. There exists the human tendency within all of us for a failure to appreciate or to take for granted. And there's a saying that is familiar to all of us, that we don't know how good we have it until we don't have it, right? So what contributes to this lack of awareness? As I mentioned earlier, it may be some obstacle, a building such as that will not allow you to see the sunrise or the sunset. It may be trees. It may be some obstacle. It could be complacency. It could be the fast pace of life. It just could be the human limitation to comprehend our surroundings. But you know, that beauty from that sunset, it's there and it's around us every day, but something affects our ability to actually see it. There's a potential problem and even a danger that we need to be aware of that can lead to a lack of awareness. Maybe even can present dissatisfaction and an ingratitude about us. In Ecclesiastes, we read that the eye is never satisfied with seeing, nor the ear with hearing. So over the next few minutes, I want us just to think about some important things in this life that you and I can take for granted. If we're not careful, then we can fall into the same trap that many people fall into, and that's just take what has been given to us for granted. First thing I want to look at is our life. Many people take their life for granted, do they not? One of the many psalms that David wrote expresses the gratitude, his gratitude, with a thankful heart. And I just want to read this passage from Psalms chapter 138 and in verse 7. And it reads, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will receive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me." As you and I journey through this life, there will be trouble. There will be difficulty. That's just a fact of life. The question that you and I have to ask ourselves, do we want God with us to maneuver through the landmines in this life, or do we want to do it on our own? God is faithful. He is a protector. He is a trustworthy provider who has our best interest at heart. David realized this. We can realize it as well. We should give thanks to God every day of our lives. He's created us with a purpose. We are an intricate work of art that was created by His handiwork. It's sad to me to see those that don't appreciate their lives. They engage in risky behavior. They abuse their bodies, abuse others. They take their life for granted. How horrific is it to live in a culture that is desensitized to the sanctity of human life? Most of us instinctively want to protect those helpless creatures. My grandmother had a tender heart, and if there was a helpless animal, she took in the homeless. We read all the time about some construction project that's put on hold or maybe even canceled because of some endangered insect or amphibian or fish that has been brought to attention. Yet we live in a society that is so blatantly inhumane to the slaughter of millions of babies, helpless babies who are so much more precious in the sight of God. Get this in your mind. Since just 1973, since the CDC started receiving reports from the states on the number of official abortions in this nation, the U.S. slaughters 1 million, approximately 1 million babies a year. Another 56 million are killed annually across this world. Just let that sink in just a minute. Let's take a brief glimpse at what God thinks about this. He tells us in His Word, and before you, I have got Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, and it reads, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." In Psalm chapter 139, we go back to another one of the Psalms, and it reads, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." We could go on in the New Testament. In Luke's account, this was when Elizabeth and Mary both were expecting children, John the Baptist and Jesus. And Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" As soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And then moving back on up in verse 15 of the same chapter, says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." This is directly from the inspired Word of God. Human life is precious. Life and everything that we're given should be appreciated and not taken for granted. You know, the human tendency for us is we know that we're going to die, but we don't think it's going to be very soon, sometime off in the future. You know, we just take it for granted that we're going to live today. You know, we should take life day by day and appreciate what God has given us this day, and to not fret about the things that we can't control, but to appreciate and to make the best of whatever circumstances that we're given. You know, we recognize that we are to enjoy life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it says also that we're accountable to God for everything. "Truly the light is sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment." If we go over to the New Testament in James, similar passage here. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that." God does want us to enjoy each day of our life. He wants me to use it wisely to glorify Him. Jesus told us that nothing that you do in this life will matter if you do not have a love for God and a love for the people that He has made. You remember the first and greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So today and whatever days that I have remaining on this life, let me be more determined than ever to appreciate the time that I'm given on this earth, to thank God that I am alive and that I am serving a purpose that is greater than myself. Life is not promised to us. Only death is promised to us. Life and everything we're given certainly should be appreciated and not taken for granted. Something that's pretty obvious to us, if I were to ask you what you could take for granted, our physical blessings come to our mind. And there was a survey that was conducted, a familiar game show, and the American people were asked, what do people often take for granted? And that's what comes to their mind. Most of these are sustainment in nature: money, family, house, electricity, water, and love. Family and love only being those things that are maybe more relationship based. But we are to appreciate the things that we're being given. We are to have an attitude of gratitude. There's a familiar passage here in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read several passages this morning in the book of Ephesians. This is just one of many. It says, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God expects Him for us to show our appreciation to Him, to be thankful for those things. It's easy for us to think the things that we have, our homes, our transportation, our clothing, all these things, we work for those things, so maybe therefore they're mine, and I don't need to be appreciative for those things that have been given to me. The truth is that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Also in Acts chapter 14, it reads, He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You know that everything that you and I have is on loan from God. And therefore, we should be good stewards of those things, appreciative of those things, and responsible for those things. And as stewards, that responsibility includes managing the resources that we're given wisely. You know, we should show appreciation for those things that we have before it becomes what you had. The next thing that we easily sometimes take for granted are those that we love the most, our families. Do we ever take those for granted? Notice our responsibilities here back in Ephesians. This is in Ephesians chapter 5. There's several of us that are husband and wives in the audience. Some may be to be husbands and wives. So let's look at this passage. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, men, women, both, we need to take our responsibilities seriously in the home. God expects us to. Husbands are to love our wives. We are to treat them as a treasure, as a prized possession. Wives, we are to submit to our husbands. Be committed to faithfulness in our homes. Don't forget the vows. If you're married, you made a vow before God and to your fellow man. Don't forget your vow that you made to love and to cherish until the end of time, until your end of your time. Put God and family first, even before your own interest, your own hobbies, your own, maybe even your own work that gets in the way of your responsibilities and your interaction with your family. Don't take your spouse for granted. This last year was the passing of one of our great presidents, the 41st president, George H.W. Bush. A few months prior to that passing, he said goodbye and farewell to his wife of 73 years, Barbara Bush. They seemed to have a very wonderful marriage together. A lot of good things have been written and been said about them. One of George's good attributes that his family appreciated was his ability to write letters. And one of those such letters stuck out to me and was so touching that he wrote to Barbara as they were early on in their relationship. He wrote to her, "I love you, precious, with all my heart, and to know that you love me means my life. How lucky our children will be to have a mother like you." How sweet and how precious. And they went on to have a wonderful family and long life together. Well, that also includes the children. Listen to what God says to children also in Ephesians chapter 6. His children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on this earth. There are other passages as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. This is in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Proverbs is just full of admonition to those in the home. Also, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. That's in Proverbs chapter 13. And also in chapter 15, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. There are a few kids in the audience this morning. You know, kids, honoring your father and your mother is just the right thing to do. It means that you'll have to be trainable. Parents, that means that you have to train. You have to teach your children. Kids, godly parents have more experience. They have more knowledge, and they have more experience than you do. You would be wise to listen to them. You will live long on this life. You'll have a good relationship with your parents if you do these things. Don't take them for granted. They won't always be there for you. Brethren, can we take the church of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, for granted? I think so. You know, it's the mission of God and should be ours as well, for the church to grow, for it to be edified, for it to be unified. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4 this time, verses 15 through 16. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It's interesting to me the numerous references that the church is made to the body of Christ. Every part of the body of Christ is essential and important to the church, to the local church. It says it promotes growth. Recently, I had an issue with my right shoulder, right arm, okay? That became pretty important to me because I'm right hand dominant. And so I had to shut that part of my body down to let it kind of recover and rest. I didn't realize how much I relied upon my right arm and hand for everything until I couldn't use it. In Hebrews chapter 10, very familiar passage here. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, get this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How do I consider one another to initiate good and to initiate love and good works as I'm instructed here? You know, in the typical local church, Bible classes, Sunday school, whatever you want to call it, are some of the, I guess, less supported activities and meetings of the church. I'm thankful that's not the case here. Our Bible classes are well attended on Wednesday evening and Sunday mornings, and praise God for that. Can we do better? Can I do better? Do I participate in these opportunities that the church offers? I know there's some circumstances that may prevent us from being able to do that, but I believe there's some legitimate opportunities available for growth if we take advantage of those opportunities to learn and to be together and to consider others over ourselves. I want to share with you an expression that I've tried to work on. You've heard this before. I have to go to church, right? We've talked about this before. And it's something I've tried to work on because I have to go to work tomorrow. I have to go pick some groceries up at the grocery store. It's part of our language. But sometimes, and a lot of that has to do with our expression, a lot of times we don't realize maybe how that sounds, right? So I've tried to start using, substituting the word have with I get to go to church. I need to go to church. And really that's my mindset. I'm really looking forward to it. And it's something that I realize that I need to do or I have to do. I want to do those things. But it's something that I found that I could work on. What is our perspective about the meetings here? Do you look forward to the opportunities to be together with the church? We talked about our Bible classes, our gospel meetings, congregational-related functions, you name it. Do I look forward to those things? Or is it something that I kind of dread, that it's just something that I really don't look forward to doing? Is that the right attitude to have? You know, sometimes you hear the perspective that, well, I just don't get very much out of fill in the blanks, whatever that might be. Should it really be about me? Is that what it's about? With whatever I do, I find that I get more out of something with what I put into something. This is a familiar passage here, and I'm just going to jump down here to, I believe, what is the blueprint of church growth. Let's just start working here. The church, there were many that were saved on the day of Pentecost. And I'm going to move on down to, and day by day, they attended the temple together and broke bread in their homes. They received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the number day by day those who were being saved. Acts chapter 2, and this is verses 41 through 47. We realize here that putting others first means putting aside our own preferences to preserve the unity of the body. Remember what Paul revealed in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, to bear with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so that's going to require us to be humble, to be patient, to bear with one another. Do I look forward to being with members of one another? It's going to require me to get to know one another outside of the times that we are together here. It requires me that way to be able to support my brethren and to be able to be unified with one another. There's a familiar passage over in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love that. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're abounding in the work of the Lord, then you'll be happy, you'll be peaceful, you'll be joyful, and you'll be faithful. There's no time to be critical, and there's no time to be discontent. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one of mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. So I think it's pretty apparent just with these few passages that we've looked at, the emphasis on us being involved with our local church, the responsibility that we have to encourage, to promote growth individually and collectively, and the real possibility that we can take this for granted. Well, that kind of leads me to my next point. Do you think we can take the Word of God for granted? During our study this morning, we've made numerous references to the Holy Word of God. And in doing so, we recognize the importance of being our blueprint and being our revelation and what can happen if we take it for granted. I just want to use one passage here, and I just want to read through this here. I want you to see how God looked at the sacrifice process under the old law. This is taken from Leviticus chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. So God commanded Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth, on the altar, all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and put his linen undergarment on his body, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burnt offering on the altar and put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on the other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. This is just a snippet here of the details that the priest had to make sure that they and the people had to understand what their requirements were. And we kind of see a few chapters later in chapter 9, some of the results here. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. This is how it's supposed to work. Not very long afterwards, in chapter 10, we pick up with Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. Each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me I will be sanctified, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron, whose sons had just been killed, held his peace. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they made an unauthorized sacrifice. God's response is, I will not allow you to become complacent or to take me for granted. How is it that we can become complacent? Many of you are familiar with your boats, and you know sometimes you tie your boat off at the pier or the dock. And occasionally the rope will come undone, and it will, you know, fortunately, if you're able to grab the rope and pull it back, you can prevent this from happening. But if you don't, the boat's going to drift. First, it's going to be 5, 10, 50 feet, 100 feet. Next thing you know, the boat's out of sight. And it's into rough waters. In Hebrews chapter 2, it reads, "Therefore, we must give earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." We can be that boat if we're not careful. If we neglect, it says here, it goes on, if we neglect such a great salvation, we need to pay attention. We need to give more earnest heed to the Word of God. If we're not careful, we can neglect and allow the cares of this world to allow us to drift away. And we drift by not staying in contact with God. That may be through our prayer life. That may be, such as I mentioned earlier, our collective study of the Word, or being together here to worship God together. Some of the best opportunities for spiritual growth are down the hall in some of these classrooms. I think the last I heard, there were around 50 of you ladies that volunteered to teach our children. Thank you very much for that. If you come up here on any day, I was up here yesterday, and there were ladies working on their classes, getting ready for today, making preparation. I hope you're taking advantage of those resources and taking advantage of those opportunities. What else is more important than to grow spiritually and to live like God would have you to live? Matthew chapter 13 reads, "As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful." So this is a good time of year for those of you that enjoy gardening. Several months ago, you worked to prepare for this moment. You prepared your field, the soil. You planted your seed. And during that time, you kept the weeds out. And fortunately, you have something beautiful like this to select your vegetables. Well, what happens if you give up and you just don't keep the weeds out? I think we know we'll be disappointed when we show up. We will not have the fruit or the vegetables that are ready for us to consume and to take. The same result occurs when we allow the word to be pushed out of our hearts by the cares of this life, the weeds of this life, Do you let the weeds get involved with the fruit that you can produce in your life? We've all known those in the body of Christ that have drifted. It doesn't happen overnight. The Word teaches us that's inevitable if we allow the cares of this world to overcome the things that God will allow us to have in our hearts. Don't take it for granted. Don't sit there and think, this can't happen to me. I'm too strong. I'm just not going to allow this to happen to me. It can. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. So that leads us to the final thing that I want you to consider this morning. Don't take your salvation for granted. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We talked about those physical blessings that we were blessed with earlier. And spiritual blessings are provided to us as well, but there's one difference we understand. With the physical blessings, you know, Christ told us that he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends the rain to the just and the unjust. But with spiritual blessings, it's a little bit different. And we find, for the example of Paul and Barnabas, when they were teaching the Jews in Antioch and Pisidia, he told them that the door of opportunity was closing, and they were judging themselves unworthy of everlasting life. So spiritual blessings then have to be received. They have to be accepted. Whereas physical blessings, you know, the good and the bad, they're going to enjoy those. Spiritual blessings, not so much. In John chapter 14 and verse 23, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our home with him. Have you made a home with God? When we love God more than anything else in this world, then we'll do whatever it is necessary to serve him. If we have the faith that is required to repent of those sins in our lives and to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and accept baptism to begin a new life as a Christian, we can live a life of obedience to God. You know, the things that you may take for granted, someone else this morning is praying for those things. I'm sure there's some other things this morning that we probably could have covered, but I want you to leave here today thinking about your life and how it's so important not to take it for granted, not to take for granted those physical blessings that we depend upon each day, not to take for granted your family, those that you love, those that love you, those that care about you, not to take for granted the church of Jesus Christ. Our Savior died for us, and it meant so much for him to establish the local church, not to take for granted the opportunity to be a part of a local church and to be with your brethren, not to take for granted the Word of God and how much it is integral to being a Christian, not to take for granted your salvation. This morning, there may be someone in the audience that is ready to obey the gospel this morning. That sunset or that sunrise that we observed a few minutes ago, why don't you take opportunity to observe that, to see that for what it is? Same with your salvation today. You can take advantage of that opportunity and you can come to Christ. If you've drifted away, as we've talked about this morning, you've fallen away and you need to come back to the Lord, whatever your desire is this morning, please come forward as we stand together and we sing this song together.